The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
And completely disavowed her.
That's true.
Her
I
heritage,
am not
her
him.
Real heritage.
Yeah. Yeah, real heritage. Okay.
What accent is that, Linda, that you're using? All these accents.
What accents?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, you want me to use accents?
Yeah, I'm on. What you be thinking about there, Armand? That's a cross between Irish and Jamaican. That's an
I'll
Irish
take
Jamaican.
A vodka martini, shaken, not stirred.
Oh,
you almost got it. You didn't quite nail it, though.
Wow. He doesn't have any caffeine this morning.
Well,
oh, my goodness sake.
That's what it is. No caffeine means Dave's off his game.
Well, I would have nailed it
say
if
that.
I had caffeine. I didn't have caffeine.
Caffeine. Look at him over there. He's like got the sad eyes.
I'm not
like
even sure I'm awake.
He looks like that little character on the cartoon with his eyes.
No caffeine today.
I have no caffeine.
Feel like Eeyore. Okay.
Sound like a liberal on election day.
No, I'm not crying.
No, you're not. Oh, well, we have a couple of nice. We're going to go there. Anyway. Yeah, there you go. Today is Sunday, November 24th.
Wow.
Do we have a chat room? I haven't even looked.
Yes. I do.
2024.
I'm loading up our studio right now.
You're loving us up in Fireside
the Rumble. So if you're looking at that, we're probably going to be up in about 3 to 5 on rumble.com/fire.
And my name is Mark Kent, and I am the star of the show.
He is the star of the show.
Okay, whatever.
And the crowd goes wild.
And the cut.
Good morning.
And my co-host, Eeyore. I told you. Anyway, I'm here in the studio in the great city of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody. Wow. I can't handle this.
The kid that rocks around the park, the stream is speaking internet, connects from a father and hot with WBIGM and Cyberdave Johnson.
So he's not very speedy this morning.
I didn't have enough caffeine. I need more.
Whatever.
I need some like mainland some Folgers or something here.
I'll go make some coffee.
Yeah. Tap in veins.
If
let's
you guys
go.
Don't make any swear words, I'll go run the coffee.
Oh, now you're asking a lot of us to have a clean dialogue.
Deal?
Come on.
Do we have a deal?
Damn it, Jim.
Yeah. We'll try really, really hard.
I'm a talk show host, not a doctor.
We'll try really hard. We won't promise
sure.
anything.
I promise that I won't swear until you get back with the coffee.
Like Dr. Oz.
Liar.
Well, we have another show jam-packed with the typical stuff, if you will. I'm going to see if I get on the chat room. I'm going to start this off with a video so it gives us time to get our footing because I don't think we have our footing yet.
That sounds like a plan. I'm okay. Still trying to figure
let's
out.
Speak okay, for
let's,
yourself.
Let's go with JP. We got the We Lie to You news segment here. There's some good stuff here. Here we go. Oh, I guess I got to plug it in. Hold on. We're not even got that. Hold on. Here we go.
Was too busy knocking everybody around. Yeah, not go. Even up and running.
Here we go.
With countless blue-haired liberal women boycotting sex to protest the democratic process of electing our president, Whoopi Goldberg is joining the club.
You can't do this without us. Yeah. And if we don't let you,
yes,
we
can.
Don't get it.
And this has been released to Whoopi, signed by every man in America, that reads, "We have already been boycotting you for years, Whoopi." Oh, there's my signature. Welcome to We Lie to You News for a post-election update. The very fine people on both sides have already started the bloodbath since Trump has been elected. Accordingly, we'll freak out about Trump's recent announcements about who will be serving in his administration, like Matt Gaetz, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, amongst others. We'll also check in with AOC to see how she's doing. Tonight, we'll also be working hard to cover up Big Pharma corruption, and we'll hear what Obama had to say to Trump. But starting with, President Biden hosted President Trump for meetings at the White House. Here you can see post-coup Joe seemed to be thrilled to sit next to the man that he and Jill voted for. We have reports that on Trump's agenda was to discuss current foreign policy relations and national security topics in order to ensure a smooth transition of power. And on Biden's list of topics to discuss were applesauce, underpants, and that hoe bag Kamala. Since the election, Trump has been on fire as he announces who will be filling positions in his administration. Most enraging for us on the left, recently, is Congressman Matt Gaetz being announced as Trump's pick for Attorney General. Gaetz doesn't in any way play ball, so it's got us in the establishment a little perturbed. Here's a clip of Gaetz saying very offensive things about abortion-hungry women that is designed to turn you against him.
Like, why is it that the women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions? Nobody wants to impregnate you if you look like a thumb.
And we've just seen breaking footage of a reporter asking the attorney general nominee about it. Let's see how Gaetz squirmed around the question.
Is it safe to say that based off of your comments, you're suggesting that these women at these abortion rallies are ugly and overweight?
Yes.
What do you think of people who think that those comments are offensive?
I wonder why you dropped that.
Be offended.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we don't use that clip anymore. And Tulsi Gabbard has been announced by Trump as his pick for National Director of Intelligence. Trump is being criticized for this unprecedented move of appointing someone to lead the intelligence agencies who has intelligence. Doesn't seem like it'll turn out too well. Finally, Trump comes in hot with a pick that has us and Liz Cheney at least a little bit happy. Marco Rubio is named Secretary of State. All hail warmongers. While everyone is excited about this pick, aside from conservatives, some are beginning to wonder if Trump is playing 3D chess with the move. Because this leaves Rubio's Senate seat in Florida vacant. And there's strong speculation that Governor DeSantis will be appointing Laura Trump to fill his seat. Moving along. Earlier, Trump had announced a billionaire tag team of Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to lead the newly formed Department of Government Efficiency. And for people that don't like Elon and Vivek, you are simply racist, hating African Americans and Indians. Nope, we're not doing the everything is racist thing anymore.
No, that was so yesterday.
But with the announcement, some are wondering, is there really inefficiency in the government? What could possibly be cut? Well, Rand Paul published this, The Hamsters Fight Club. The National Institutes of Health spent over $3 million to watch hamsters fight on steroids. And rumor has it that that hamster will be Jake Paul's next fight. This just in! President Trump has announced RFK Jr. to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. With massive conflict of interest where RFK Jr. has what's called care for the American people, our advertisers insist that we remind you that he is a vaccine denier, conspiracy theorist, and he's probably the one that killed Kennedy. One innocent group that works tirelessly for the American people that might not be too fond of this appointment is the pharmaceutical industry. It's come to light that Big Pharma paid $1.06 billion to reviewers at the top medical journals with regard to their COVID and vaccine narratives, which is just what you have to do to ensure the medical journals get the science right. But cue the Jaws music, RFK Jr. is coming. This just in! AOC no longer has her pronouns in her Twitter bio. She took them out for some reason. With AOC being pronounless, how will we possibly know what she is?
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Ah, that's just misinformation. But luckily, we do have some answers. Here you can see AOC during a live stream in years past when someone pointed out that she doesn't have her pronouns in her bio.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. They used to be on there. Let me go in and check and see if I can add them. Sorry about that. They used to be there. I guess they fell off.
A principled person is one that would add pronouns to make people happy and then later delete them because they're not in fashion anymore. Or perhaps what she said is true and they just fell off. Oftentimes, gravity has a vicious way of dismantling what's in people's bios. They fell off like they went over the edge of the flat earth. Speaking of which, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert recently came in hot with conspiracy theories during a congressional hearing. Take a look.
Listen. May as well just go all out and say it. The earth is flat. Birds are government drones. And we've never set foot on the moon. And Joe Biden received 81 million votes in the 2020 election.
Many Democrats criticized Boebert, calling her a crazy conspiracy theorist for the comments. Meanwhile, many conservatives criticized her, saying, that's all she believes? We're also receiving breaking reports that Obama met with President Trump. And based on this live footage of a picture made by the internet, Obama was asking Trump a very poignant question. That's it for...
Let me see if I can get that meme up here real quick. Hold on.
This live footage of a picture made by the internet, Obama was...
Says, Obama's whispering into Trump's ear. Donald, how do you sleep at night knowing you have so many people that hate you?
And wow.
Trump answers, naked with a supermodel and it's Mr. President to you.
I was asking Trump a very poignant question. That's it for tonight's news. President Trump continues terrorizing America by appointing people that can affect real change. AOC no longer has pronouns, and Whoopi Goldberg is off the market. So, there's that, guys. Stay tuned to We Lie to You News as we will continue to bring you the latest in the post-election bloodbath that Trump is stirring up. Good night. My friend,
yeah, we have a little bit of post-election trauma, meltdowns, a few things going on locally, you know, statewide, nationwide, globally, and all I can say is this bud's for you. Never mind.
Whatever. Yes, they're melting down, yes.
No, I just got to give a shout-out. We have the best producer. He got me coffee, and now I will be caffeinated. So I'm. That's all I got to say.
You're very welcome.
You guys got caffeine, and I didn't. Yay! All right!
For you, Dave, our producer.
Yeah.
Do you want some, Linda? I didn't hear you say you wanted some.
I don't know if I want it if they're having it.
He doesn't want any.
Yeah, I'll take some whenever you get a chance.
I knew that she would want some as soon as I say she doesn't.
Yeah. Like everybody wants to hear you drinking your coffee?
Well, that's the whole thing. So, I mean, you basically had women that screwed the whole world as soon as they ended up deciding what to eat one time. That's why they'll never say what they want to eat. You're like, hey, what do you want to eat, hon? I don't know. Anything sounds great. What would you like to eat? I don't know. I'm not gonna. It's ingrained now. They don't make the decisions anymore.
Wow, you're attacking women this morning. Wow. Okay.
What's a woman?
What is a woman?
Somebody that doesn't
have
Matt a package.
Matt Walsh tried to figure that out. He was running into it in all corners.
I don't know. I have a Mighty Python clip about what is a woman and what is a man.
Oh, Monty Python.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where that was going. It was next last Actually, time I heard a woman say that she had a Mighty Python, it was a dude.
No, no. Whoa. Who you been hanging out with?
Apparently the Gateway Unified District 3 has a interesting individual on scoreboard over there now.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I know nothing.
That's a lady with a mighty python.
Don't put it in the lady category. That's not, no. That's not a definition of a woman. I'm sorry, no.
So.
Allegedly.
So, well, allegedly a lot of things, but that ain't one.
I guess, oh, boy. So I guess I want to talk about local politics and local happenings and so forth. We should probably go over the Lisa Jensen and three felonies. I don't know if we covered that last week. I don't think we did.
I think we hit upon it a little bit, maybe. I'm not very much.
Yeah, because it's let me go back. I'm in the wrong month here. What happened? Yeah, so anyway, evidently there was a local attorney who was indicted by the Shasta County District Attorney, Stephanie Bridget, on three felonies for allegedly striking and causing great bodily harm while operating an electric scooter under the influence of alcohol. Did anybody see this covered in the mainstream local meathead news media?
Nope. I don't really watch it, but no.
According to the elderly victim, who is, wishes to remain anonymous, he was taking his regular evening stroll on a sidewalk near downtown Redding, California, on November 17th, 2023. Isn't it interesting that that was like over a year ago?
Yeah, but she has so many cases, and they're so overloaded, and even though they were doing campaign stuff in her office.
So the victim evidently was struck by Lisa Jensen, and she was traveling downhill on an e-scooter at a high rate of speed.
I'm sorry.
Despite the prohibition of riding on sidewalks. So I guess that that doesn't matter. You just
depends on who you are.
So evidently she hit this elderly gentleman, and he was knocked unconscious, and someone had already called emergency services and were tending to a woman near an e-scooter by the time he was able to, I guess some, they were attending to the, I don't know, this kind of, I'm reading an article here from Mountaintop Media, Chris Street, because he was on blood thinners, the victim stated he almost bled out.
Oof.
And so it was very serious, evidently. Paramedics performed first aid, transported the victim to Mercy Medical, where he was treated for a broken collarbone, ankle injury, required stitches. The injuries were so severe, the victim still cannot go on walks right now. So the victim learned from the police report that the scooter operator was named Lisa M. Jensen. The police administered a DUI blood test, evidently. And the scooter driver, I'm reading the article again, was attorney Lisa M. Jensen, attorney currently has a legal office at 610 West Street in Redding, California. Lisa promotes on her legal services website that her two top professional practice areas are DUI and felony, which is begs kind of a couple of interesting questions.
I guess you have inside information if you're doing it yourself.
Well, if you have to be experienced at these things in order to be able to qualify. So Attorney Jensen might need to be a blood DUI expert, I guess. Mountaintop Times is continuing to investigate allegations that she had at least one prior DUI and may have had a second. We're not sure about that. And the California State Bar may revoke her bar license if the attorney is a repeat offender for DUIs, and multiple DUIs can indicate a substance abuse problem as well. So there's been no press coverage regarding this incident, and a few local social media posts were either taken down or faded into the scrolling abyss when the Mountaintop Times began to follow the incident in February after neighbors complained the lack of consequences for any offenders. So this is just one more thing. And the DA cautioned the county DUI-related prosecutors often that these prosecutions are often delayed because it can take up to a year to get a toxicology report back from the State of California lab in Sacramento.
That's insane.
I don't know if that's true or not.
2 days before the deadline, the toxicology report came in, and the DA came down hard with serious array of felonies and enhanced charges. So we've got several charges of DUI with injury, reckless driving, and so forth. And then it's my understanding is that she is now no longer in under contract with the county as well.
I heard that too, that her contract was voided on that.
So those are serious consequences, evidently. We'll see how this goes.
I guess there was an article on Action News that did an article. But
was there
the link,
an article?
But the link that I was sent, when I open it, it doesn't do anything. So it says unavailable due to legal reasons. I'm not sure what that means. But
well, it just begs the question because, you know, they were thick as thieves, for lack of better terminology, over there at the DA office, and she – I guess was not working there as a public defender because we reported that earlier and that was incorrect information. But we like to see all of these people held accountable because they're the first ones to point fingers at everybody else except themselves. So maybe looking in the mirror might be a good idea. So anyway, moving right along.
I think we have a caller on the line. We've got Nick on the line. Good morning, Nick.
It is a good morning. Now that Trump's our president, shortly.
Sure. Hey, shortly.
Now, do you suppose that they were delaying the prosecution, maybe trying to put it off because she is involved with Nathan Pinckney?
Well, that could be because it seems like all these they're all very left-leaning, and they seem like they have banded together on several occasions when it comes to anything that was promoting the leftist, wokest, ideological, progressive agenda. And so it makes you kind of wonder because you got Bridget as the DA, interestingly enough, as a Democrat. How does a Democrat get an elected DA in this county, which is by demographics, all accounts that I've seen, 65% or 68% conservative? Go ahead.
Do you remember how long did it take Carlos Zapata's trial to come up? I don't think it was in a year.
Well, let me weigh in here. I was just being sarcastic about that.
We kind of figured that, Nick. Go ahead.
But the thing is, on July 11th, there was a gal, and I don't have her name at the tip of my tongue, that was passed out at a stop sign down here south of town, I think. She had three kids in the car. And the cops were called. When the cops showed up, the car sitting at the stop sign in park, running, and she's passed out. Now, she was charged with DUI and child endangerment, rightfully so. But her blood test came back in 3 days because she was charged on June 14th. Now, why do you suppose her blood test came out so quick when it takes up to a year for Lisa's?
I don't know. Maybe it's a stonewalling effect. You know, it's kind of we've seen that in this administration regime that we've been living under for the last 4 years across the board. And do they protect their own and punish their enemies? And with lawfare, it seems like it, doesn't it?
Again, the DA is the one that picks and chooses what she does.
It just seems odd to me, and I thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Well, I appreciate it, Nick, because I've been kind of wondering about that as well. And I'm in shock almost at the fact that it came in 3 days before the statute of limitations ran out on it.
Sorry, we can't charge her now. The statute of limitations was up 3 hours ago.
Oops.
Right.
Yep.
Great day.
You too. Thanks for calling
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, Nick.
But again, it goes back to the DA's discretion whether she prosecutes or brings something up on a lot of cases, and it seems to be an ongoing problem here in Shasta County. I mean, that's just one incident.
You don't think that the threat of recall would have anything to do with
no.
the prosecution here? Because I think the political pressure is starting to come to bear, and we've been hearing recall, chants getting louder here lately. And,
yeah.
You know, the question is, will these people throw themselves under the bus to save themselves? Nah, they wouldn't do stuff like that. So I don't know.
Or they might start resigning or moving. But anyway, going back to, you know, this is happening a lot. More cases are coming up, not just the Lisa Jensen case in regards to the DA's office in the court system. So just saying, stay tuned on that stuff.
I think we got to go to a break here in a second. And I did queue up some music here on the break for – I wanted to pay respects to the woke progressives that lost the election. So I wanted to, you know, make sure that they knew how we feel, you know, and felt about this. And, you know, so these are in honor of them and their agenda. Can go ahead.
I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see too far. No. Can you stop the rain from falling down?
How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round? How can you mend this broken man?
How can a loser ever win?
Please help me mend my broken heart
and let me live again.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com has teamed up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Exploration Park, and Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive to help out Toys for Tots this holiday season and give you a chance to win some great prizes, including 4 tickets to the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights and $50 in gift certificates, better known as Black Bear Bucks from Black Bear Diner. All you have to do to get into our drawing is donate a brand new unwrapped toy valued at $10 or more to the KCNR studios at 1326 Market Street in downtown Reading. Then your name goes into a drawing coming up December 12th at 8:15 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Teaming up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights, and Black Bear Diner to help out Toys for Tots this Christmas. And giving you a chance to win some great prizes on KCNR. No purchase necessary to enter the drawing. One entry per person.
I started a joke, which started the whole world crying. But I didn't see that the joke was on me. Oh no. I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I'd only seen that the joke was on me. Thank you.
Now we're hot. Now the mics are hot.
That's for all you guys out there. Thought you had it won. And there was no way that Trump could win. And we were all a bunch of fascist Nazis, knuckle-dragging Neanderthals that have no business living. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, now they can't live.
I'm just waiting for all the people that said you'd move.
They are starting. Ellen DeGeneres is now going to England.
One of my favorite people to go.
Yeah, it's like...
baby, you need help?
She's never coming back, her and Portia.
Well, I wonder if that's that might be because of her connections with Diddy.
Well, I got it's really funny that you mentioned that, because I've got Scott Baio reading the list of the Diddy guys.
Oh, very curious.
Yeah, it's interesting.
A whole lot of them, comes up. But with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Stones. Good morning, Stones.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what you got?
Plenty, usually, but, a couple quick comments on the election. Somebody already mentioned Bobby Simpson, transgender for Gateway. In 2022, the voters of that district overwhelmingly replaced the establishment candidates for conservatives. Suspicious that those voters all of a sudden had swung hard left and want somebody with admitted mental problems, multiple personalities on the school board. Are you kidding me? My SCOE race. I've been behind the entire time. I remember 2 years ago, I got third place out of two seats. It looks like I'm going to get third place out of two seats again. I'm just saying, there's no logic to these results. And Frenchie, another admitted hard left socialist Marxist who believes in censorship, pretty sure the Area 2 voters don't want her in that office. So, I'm just saying, we're still electronically tabulating with proprietary software with dirty voter roll. If we think we're going to get a different result, you're not paying attention.
Well, it'd just be nice to have confidence in the result, and what we got this year was not confidence, and Toller didn't instill confidence in anyone in light of the overspray, the machines,
and it's still going on, the changing of the dates, and
they're still going on, they're still counting, and we've even got new information that we're going to try to cover. Been hard to digest everything that's coming out. And so with all of that said, do you trust the voting in the county at this point, or the state?
So I hope. The punchline. I'll have the punchline here in just a second. So go back and listen to the Sovereign Minds podcast on Mountain Tom's Media. Listen to last hour's Jefferson State of Mind radio show on this station. This is the worst election for fairness and transparency in Shasta County history. We are watching it. We are watching this infamous history being made in front of our eyes. So I've talked recently, it's almost 2 years now, about separating the local ballots and taking control of the local races by separating the ballots and cleaning the voter rolls, which our Board of Supervisors has failed to do. Our registrar has failed to do. Here's the punchline. Okay, time for the County Board of Supervisors to send a letter to the Secretary of State stating we will no longer be administering the federal and state elections in Shasta County. We'll let the state come in and handle it because it's fraught with fraud, and we don't want to be a part of it. And in that same letter, we shall be taking control of our local ballot and our local elections 100%. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea. Why not? Because shouldn't we be able to pick who our representatives are locally in the county, or should we let the state come in and dictate to us how they're chosen?
And here's the key in it. Here's the key in it all. In the elections code, our local elections officer, we're required to report certain state and federal races to the Secretary of State. Nowhere in the election code mandates that we report any local races. Period. Did I say period? So that just shows you that the Secretary of State doesn't give a crap about our local elections in that respect. reporting. So let's just say, all right, since you don't care about our local elections, we're going to take 100% control.
Well, they'll try. Right, they'll try to change the law probably immediately upon that, and then the real thing I'm thinking of, and I'll let you respond to that, is the fact that now that we have a new board coming in, and should we put pressure on the old board or the new board? Because we've changed out Jones for Harmon, and we still have two supposedly conservatives on the board that replace Jones, and then we still have Tim Garmon. So we in theory have Kevin Cry, Chris Kellstrom, and Corky Harmon as a block to start implementing some of these things after the first of the year, or before that. So why don't we need to maybe put some pressure on them to start implementing some of these changes?
Well, first of all, Alan Long, he's Modi 2.0. He's cut from the same cloth, so we already know where he's going to go.
Right.
Garmon's gone.
Garmon's gone, and he's replaced. Long's replacing Garmon, right?
Gosh darn it! And I'm not sure at the moment.
I'm pretty sure Long's replacing Garmon.
Yeah, but the key here is again taking control. Will the state pass laws? Yes. But remember, starting on January 1st, we're a charter county.
I was going to say.
What just happened in the city of Huntington Beach, a charter city? A judge ruled in favor of their voter ID law because of the California Constitution gives charter cities and counties wider latitude in controlling local issues. Holy crapoli. So, yes, our board of supervisors, they're going to get flooded with ordinance ideas immediately in January to pass election ordinances. Yeah, voter ID is going to be the first one. We're going to follow Huntington Beach's model and their leadership. By the way, they're much more bolder than our board of supervisors in many respects. We don't have to lead every time, right? Although Shasta is a leader in many things, but we can also follow other good leadership. And so let's start with voter ID. Let's start with separating
the
ballots.
And that's right at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we're going to hit the ground running in Shasta County with our new board, are we not? And let's do all this. Let's put the pressure on the new board. Let's give them the hard decisions quickly so that we can expose them quickly for either their braveness or their cowardice right away.
Well, voter ID, one-day voting, get rid of the boxes. We know how to fix the problem.
Counting.
Yep.
So time to be bold. Like I said, let's give the state and federal races back to the state. Let's let them run those elections, because we're not going to win that battle, folks. When we try to control the state or federal ballots, the state passes the law. Okay? I mean, come on, people. Let's stop chasing our tails. We look silly. Let's put in some bold change. Anyways, just my thought. I appreciate their time.
All right.
Thanks
good.
For calling in. We appreciate it.
You too.
Yeah, so we could start right after the beginning of the year with everything.
Right.
In our local elections.
Well,
because it's not working the way it is right now.
Well, it needs to be serious. Everything that we've got that's going on right now needs to be serious. And right now, it still seems like there's a lot of people in the government that don't take this seriously. Take for instance the Matt Gaetz thing. We've got a bunch of rhinos that are in the Senate that are still controlling whether or not they're going to allow certain appointees by Trump, which clearly the people put him there to be able to do the work. Now, at the same time, we just had an egregious act from these same Republicans, a lot of them anyway, that it was a joke this week, guys. So you had the Senate Republicans that just ended up not showing up to the appointments for judges. So this last week, you had lifetime appointments for judges that we were 5 votes short of just because the Republicans didn't show up.
That's crazy. Ted Cruz was one of those.
Yeah.
From what
oh, really?
Ted Cruz and the other one, I think, was...
So Vance didn't show up, but he was helping over in
what's
Florida,
his name
I think.
North Carolina or South Carolina. I can't think of his name right off the top. Lindsey Graham. I think he was the other one, but I'm not positive.
So these are lifetime appointments, and we had a lot of judges that Trump appointed that were why we were seeing a lot of these changes that were beneficial in the law and in things like the gun control narrative, the Constitution, things of that nature. And so now Joe Biden is 15 judges short of Trump's record of appointing judges. Lifetime appointments.
Well, Trump's going to get in there and go right back at it, too. Let's hope that I do have a list of some of them. I mean, I'm looking at this article that basically says that his cabinet is complete and Meet the Stellar Team ready to make America great again. We got, you know, obviously J.D.
I'm
Vance.
I'm still showing four people short on the cabinet, but I don't know. I don't have updated stuff. Yeah, hard to tell.
This was done at 8 a.m. this morning, so I don't know. But I'll just do the highlights and see what all I got. We got, obviously, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, which I'm not thrilled about at all. I don't think Marco Rubio is that much conservative. Then we got Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
I'm not real thrilled about him at all. Right. He used to be a Soros man.
Yeah, so a well-regarded billionaire hedge fund manager, founder of investments. Prior to establishing his firm, Bessent was known for his influential role as a Soros fund manager.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound too good. Pete Hegseth, he's going to be the Secretary of Defense. I'm all right with that.
I'm all right with him.
Pam Bondi, I'm all right with her. I heard some stuff and
I don't know much about her.
Well, she's been an attorney for him and she's done some good things and she's talking about prosecuting the prosecutors right off the bat. The only thing I've heard some disturbing news, and I'm still trying to follow up on it, is that she was in favor of an assault ban on
weapons
for kids, 21-year-olds or something. I got to get more information on that.
By the way, one of those absent that allowed those judges in, it was Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Bill Hagerty, Mike Braun, and J.D. Vance, with Vance being the only one that I'm aware of that was doing something helping out in Florida.
But speaking of judges, you know, we have issues with judges right here in our backyard that just stay on the bench because nobody runs opposed or they haven't, you know, like, mm-hmm. I know one that was appointed in 2012 and he's still sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. He's never been, you know, challenged. And with that,
let's go to our caller and then we'll finish out the list.
Okay.
After we talk to Terry.
We've got Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, you?
Never stop.
Good. I watched a Mountaintop Media video with Chris Street and with Leslie Sawyer, and they were talking about the case that you were talking about earlier.
Is it a Jensen case?
Yes, we don't have a toxicology lab in Reading, is what they were saying, but I was listening to what Nick said, and apparently, how are they prosecuting any DUI cases if it takes them a year to get back the toxicology report?
That sounds like complete BS to me.
There's two different ways to do for DUIs. You can do the breathalyzer, or you can do blood.
Or not do any, and then they prosecute you.
True. There's that,
and
too.
Maybe that's what happened. So maybe, I think, was the toxicology lab can get you some kind of an accurate test, because every hour that you've been drinking that you don't drink, your alcohol
goes down.
Starts to diminish.
Goes down.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were saying, although I think it's – I agree with Nick. Nick was talking about that case where the gal, I guess, you know, got went to court like 3 days later after, you know, being drunk and asleep in her car and with her kids and stuff. So I'm trying to get to the bottom of that. It seems weird to me that we're being told that we don't have a toxicology lab. That's why we have that situation.
I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. I mean, if they want to get either. I think if somebody makes a phone call and says slow walk it, that's what happens.
She just decides to slow walk it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, I mean, on our show this morning, Laura is just such a wealth of information. It's great. And you guys did an excellent job on your podcast, Mark, you and Linda, Laura. And it was great, and I recommend everybody watch that and listen to our radio program, as Rich was saying. But, you know, what the hell is going on in Shasta County? I mean, come on, the Board of Supervisors has some jurisdiction here. They're not using it. Why not? We have all this convoluted mess. We have an ROV officer where we're hearing, oh, gosh, the guy is new. Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, we can't just keep having on-the-job training for arguably the most important elected position at this time of year in the county. I mean, I think we need to have some supervisors on as the media and say, what the hell is going on? And we've got Patrick on, all of us, and Patrick has been stellar.
Mm-hmm.
He's fought tooth and nail. But we need to have, you know, Chris on and Kevin on and say, what the hell is going on, you think?
Well, huh? And there's another thing that comes into play, too, and I've just got this in. This is talking about the emails that were between
the ROV
and, mm-hmm. and the Board of Supervisors. So we're trying to analyze that as well. And
right.
It's just crazy because when I look at that and, you know, basically it hasn't been covered by the news at all. And in these emails it says, and this is one of the comments here, it says, the news media is trying to own play this. Darling Allen and Francescott altered the Shasta County Board of Supervisors letter regarding the grant for $1.5 million from Zuckerberg. Zuckbucks.
Mm-hmm.
He gave 38 election clerks nationwide to influence our elections. Darling Allen was told at least 10 times by the county council if she wanted to change the terms of the letter, she had to go back to the BOS. She didn't bother and altered the letter to get the money. Altering a document from a governing authority is criminal. So we got that on top of all this, and this is all kind of interrelated when you talk about the elections and what, you know, what's going on with the machines, and now you see this and the money coming in and these people in collusion and just disregarding the law and their you know, the elections officer saying I don't need to get county approval from the Board of Supervisors that
right.
was elected. It's a
right.
it's really a freaking mess.
But what
right.
gets me about, I'm sorry, Terry, but what gets me to your point about the Board of Supervisors is in one of the last meetings they said, well, what difference does it make? You know, Kathy Darling's no longer the ROV. So you commit a crime, so you don't do anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's a great point. The thing is that, you know, we've got, we should be able to count to three, and all
yeah.
the things that have been brought up, they were reinforced by Laura and Rich and all the other folks that have been on there. You know, even reinforced, we go across over to Kelly Frost and his program. We've been working, trying to get interviews that could be similar things to help each other. And we can't get these guys to count to three. It seems like Patrick's the only one who's bringing forth anything. The other, we're not getting anything.
Right.
I mean, we need some action here. You know, this is going to be, if you think it's a circus now, I mean, wait till Long and Plummer get in there. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we need to demand some answers. And if any of
yeah.
those supervisors are listening, probably with the exception of Patrick, who's been on 100 times and, I mean, the guy's fallen on the sword for all of us. We all owe him a debt of gratitude. But, you know, we got to hear something from these guys. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit. I'm not getting a little bit. I'm really frustrated. In fact, I'm frustrated with using another word I cannot use on the radio because they will go ahead and they will shut down your program and go to music, and that will be it. And I don't want to get Dave in trouble.
Well, I do. I kind of want to
do you think some of these supervisors are kind of they're trying to rely on the experts. They're trying to rely on, and maybe that's some of
Well, that's no. always the problem. Anytime you bring in the experts,
Who's expert?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't trust experts any more than I do the guy down on the corner with a bag and a bottle. So
that still doesn't, you know, put aside that they're not standing up and saying we need to get to the bottom and we need to prosecute or whatever we need to do in order to clean up our ROV office, in my opinion. You know, again, you go back to that they're doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing, and they're going, oh, well, that's in the past. Well,
you know, to what you're saying, Linda, you're 1,000,000,000% correct. The point is they're not doing anything.
Exactly.
They have the jurisdiction. They have the hammer.
Yeah,
they have the power to do what they need to do. And they're not using it, and everybody should be damn mad about that. I'm sorry. I'm just done. Everybody should be damn mad about that. And these guys need to hear it. And I mean, I think they're fine gentlemen. But I mean, I'm about done with all this crap. I don't care about any of this other stuff. We can't even get our vote to count. We can't get the votes counted. We have a convoluted mess, and we have three laws that make it so that they have jurisdiction to fix this thing, and they're not fixing it, and that's called hand counting.
Agree.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's really simple. The fix is simple. There's just so much resistance to the fix because it's fixed.
Well,
anyway,
I have...
great show, you guys. I'll let you go, but man, I just want to say that we've got to put some pressure on these people. This is it.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
Okie doke.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yep.
You know?
All right. Very good. So...
Well, you know, who knew what was going to happen with Toller? I'm not defending him. I'm not saying he's good. I'm not saying he's bad.
Well, but
we didn't know.
Well, we had a swing vote, and Kevin voted with Rickards and Garmin.
That's
true.
I didn't
trust that crap at all. You can't placate to these guys, period. So yeah. I guess we got another caller.
We do. We've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, everybody. I am on the same thread and topic of all the other callers here regarding the observers, the election, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just premise that you bring up like people like these celebrities that want to take off, leave America. Ellen is also can be called Ellen DeGeneres. So anyway,
I got other words for her.
Yeah, they're going to be going to Gitmo or whatever. So ankle monitors during COVID was probably because they were already being arrested for of a variety of things. Another topic, another day. I've been volunteering as an observer the last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and there is absolutely not much meaningful observation. I have to say Patrick Jones will be free to roam the cabin. He's only got two more meetings, and I cannot wait until the shackles are off of Patrick Jones so he can speak freely. There are some good staffers that I've seen. Some of them are the usual county staffers, and some are extra paid help. There's no more department heads at the ROV. I asked about that the other day. And I am absolutely flooded with my paperwork on doing different tasks as an observer. So I'm there in the limbo room, the duplication copy room. I'm there at the 1% audit on the first floor. I'm there during the four screens coming up and tracking all of that. Thank you, Laura Hobbs, for providing accurate paperwork that we can track. I have to say, I wish some of the people that were running the thing were a little bit more kinder to us observers, because they need us as observers to demonstrate and show that, okay, there's no funky truck, an ROV, a van, or whatever's going on during the day, or they're hauling off during a lunch break and they try to chase us away. No. So they need us, and I would like to have better respect. Our bathroom breaks are every 90 minutes. I have taken some pictures of that unbelievable bathroom. Not even a person in jail or prison would be on that thing. Cobwebs, no hot water. They're breaking their observer guideline booklet. No hot water. The trash can is overflowing. It's disgusting. And people will leave their observer position and go to a nearby grocery store, a restaurant, or whatever to use a better bathroom situation. So we're treated like absolutely CRAP crap, okay? No camera is in that limbo room at all. There's people definitely doing solo one eyeball. There's no double pair of eyeballs on some of the thing. So completely, I agree with all the callers saying, go back to the last show on Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. And Tom Toller, I have to say, what time I'm there, I see him sitting in the break room, sitting in the main room. I'm not seeing him carry a file, and maybe he's doing a lot of work, email, texting, phone calls, whatever, but I am not seeing a person who's like, holy crap, this place is on fire. We're in trouble. It's getting from bad to worse to scum. I wish I could see a little bit more activity when I'm there as a volunteer. So I will be sending the pictures of the bathroom. It is absolutely, it's criminal. I don't understand why we're being treated like this. And when I was doing the 1% audit downstairs, you can't even whisper. There's no flag to wave. And the person that you're supposed to call for help is gone, vacant. They're not even at the desk. So I one time stood up from my chair,
cleared my throat so I could get what they have to provide on a little grease card is the precinct number. We got to go to a break,
Lori. You want to hang loose? Go ahead. But we're going to get...
They're going to cut us off here just a few seconds.
I'll wrap up.
We're at the top.
In the house. You already know.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. President Trump is filling key posts in his second administration, and it is shaping up much differently than the first.
Matt Continetti of the American Enterprise Institute tells the Salem Radio Network about the new approach the president-elect has toward assembling a new cabinet.
He had some trouble with some of the agencies in his first administration, in particular the security agencies, DOJ, FBI, DOD. And this time, he wants to put in people that he trusts.
Continetti says Mr. Trump is prioritizing loyalists for top jobs.
This time, he wants to put in people that he trusts, people who have also had adverse experiences with those agencies, and he wants to exert his control over them.
Bernie Bennett in Washington.
An Israeli airstrike on a Lebanese army center has killed one soldier and wounded 18 others today. Hezbollah, meanwhile, has fired about 160 rockets and other projectiles into northern and central Israel, wounding at least five people. Israeli strikes have killed over 40 Lebanese troops since the start of the war between Israel and Hezbollah. A huge and bizarre political rift has become public this weekend in the Philippines. Vice President Sara Duterte has told an online news conference that she has hired an assassin to kill President Ferdinand Marcos Jr., along with his wife and the House of Representatives Speaker, should she herself be killed by somebody.
Two politicians from powerful political families ran on a joint ticket in elections 2 years ago, but have since fallen out. The president's office said any threat on Mr. Marcos's life had to be taken seriously.
That's BBC correspondent Mickey Bristow. Earth is parting company with an asteroid that's been tagging along as a mini-moon for the past 2 months. The harmless space rock will peel away on Monday, we're being told, overcome by the stronger pull of the sun's gravity. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333. 800-885-3333.
The Air Force says a number of small drones have been detected around three bases in eastern England used by American forces. The drones spotted this last week near RAF Lakenheath, RAF Mildenhall, and RAF Feltwell. The Air Force isn't identifying who's behind the incursion, but says base officials determined there was no impact on residents or critical infrastructure in the area. Lakenheath is home to the 48th Fighter Wing, which is the Air Force's foundation of its combat capability in Europe. Tens of thousands of Spaniards marched in downtown Barcelona yesterday to protest the skyrocketing cost of renting an apartment in the popular tourist city. Protesters cut off traffic on main avenues in the center, holding up homemade signs in Spanish reading, fewer apartments for investing and more homes for living. The lack of affordable housing has become one of the leading concerns for the Southern European Union country, mirroring a housing crunch around the world. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Greek city addressed by the Apostle Paul is combining the old with the new.
Thessaloniki, Greece's second-largest city, is opening a new subway system, blending ancient archaeological treasures with modern transit technology like driverless trains and platform screen doors. The project, which began in 2003, uncovered almost 300,000 artifacts, including a Roman-era thoroughfare and Byzantine relics, many of which are now displayed in its 13 stations. Despite delays caused by preserving these findings, the inaugural line has been completed, with a second line set to open next year. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, November the 24th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday, including basketball Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson, 86 years old today. Former NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue is 84. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
And Mr. 47 in the house, you already know. Kick the mothers out the house, send the fathers back to work. Let the teachers parent the children right from the birth. Make them male, feed them pills, confuse them about what's real. Tell them facts that don't really matter, it's all about how you feel. Science and math are racist, history that's a racist. Indoctrinate a whole generation, you can't escape it. It's bigger than American politics, you're an accomplice. White people racist and bigots and you're a colonist. Get you my freedom with a courage and do the opposite. It's toxic masculinity if a man is too confident.
What is a woman?
Well, I am not a biologist. Common sense is really not common when you're a communist. Terrorists that care about the kids, just call them terrorists. It's cool to be a feminist. An environmentalist. If you led the country, then you're a white supremacist. Don't be defending it, cause what you say is irrelevant. Go and put your hands up, everybody stand up. The whole world going mad, bruh. 2 + 2 = 5. You're a racist if you don't think that adds up. Go and put your hands up, stand up. The whole world going mad, bruh. 2 + 2 = 5. You're a homophobe if you don't think that adds up. They don't have children. If they do, they abort them. Neighbors don't comply with the government, then report them. If you have independent thoughts, just ignore them. Communism, the way democracy is too boring. Bring your kids to a drag show. Give them a couple dollars to put right up in their... Don't worry about the Epstein flight logs. The case is closed. Don't even go and ask, bro. Trust the WHO and CDC. Known politicians work for the CCP. White kids are born racist. If you disagree, that makes you a damn racist. Study CRT. In today's lesson, make them get pregnant. Put your hands down. No more questions. Don't call them pedophiles. Call them ALA. Adults that like adolescents. Don't put your hands up. Everybody stand up. The whole world's doing that, bro. 2 + 2 = 5. You're a racist if you don't think that adds up. Go and put your hands up. Stand up. The whole world going mad, bro. 2 + 2 = 5. You're a homophobe.
High res. Good stuff.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So you're listening to 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR, your truth radio on Sundays. And
I don't know if we still have Lori on the line or not. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you remember in the last weekend of August, for the last two Saturdays and Sundays, we were out at the Sportsman Warehouse with a pop-up trying to sell tickets for the spaghetti dinner?
I do.
And we didn't sell many tickets at all, but a lot of people donated money for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of money.
They did?
I'm running for a dilemma right now. I'm helping another veteran outfit called AMVETS. AMVETS was founded in 1944 by Act of Congress, and a year before World War II even ended, and there's over 250,000 people in AMVETS. And they're having a gun raffle, and I'm having trouble with these tickets because people are not thinking about trying to help their veterans. All they think is that they don't really care for this gun. It's a Ruger Wrangler 22 long rifle. It was donated, and the tickets are only $10. I only have 11 tickets left, but I sent out a flyer to a lot of people, and they said they weren't interested this time. Well, I'm thinking another post. Are you interested in helping veterans? You could buy one or two tickets and just help them. And the retail price of this gun is $269. I went online. It's a single action, 6-round cylinder. The drawing's going to be on December 5th. You don't have to be there. It is not convertible into a 22 Win Mag. And anyway, I have 11 tickets left.
How much are the tickets, Dick?
$10.
$10.
They're only $10.
Put me down for two, Dick. You got me with the veteran thing.
Yeah. Anyway, if anybody likes to help veterans, this 22 is a great little gun to teach people who are just beginning with firearms. But it's very very low recoil and it's very cheap. It's a rimfire cartridge. It's probably the cheapest cartridge you could buy, and it's a fun gun to shoot. And if you win it and you don't really want the gun, give it to somebody or buy a Christmas present. But I would like to a few people to help AmVet by purchasing a couple of these tickets. And my phone number is, get a pencil, folks, 530-246-9131, or drop by the Big Red Barn. My wife's usually here most of the time, and I'm here most of the time. Big Red Barn of South Bonneview. And we're going to be lit up big time. The lights go on December 1. I'm going to be out there with candy canes and helping the Salvation Army. On December 1, we'll be out there. So anyway, thanks.
I'm glad you called in. I was thinking about you because I wanted to let people know that if they wanted to help you out at the Big Red Barn, that they can purchase some candy canes for you at Walmart in Reading.
Yeah, you know, you can buy. I already got one person is buying one case for me, a case of 36. They're either cherry or peppermint, by whichever one. Most of the kids want, they call them rainbow, they're peppermint. It's $62, a little over
$62.
$2,
right.
A case of 36, one dozen boxes is $62, some change. And if you'd like to help me with purchasing some, buy a case or two and bring them by my house. Or give me a call again, 530-246-9131.
And you want the 5-inch candy canes, correct?
Right. Yeah, okay. They have them at Walmart. Well, I called Walmart on the first, I think it was in November 2nd. I called them and they said they had received 2,000 dozen of peppermint and 600 dozen of cherry.
All right.
Very
so
good.
If you can help him out, he does a lot for the community. If you could just even buy a couple boxes and drop them off, it would be greatly appreciated.
Lindy, you can buy a couple of these tickets on this Ruger Wrangler, too.
I'll buy a couple from you, too.
That means you only have, six, seven left?
Seven left.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wilkinson.
All right, very good.
We appreciate you, and I guess we do have Lori back on the line.
I do want to mention, before we get to Lori, Crack Masters, Jeff Wurst and his firm down there, his service at the repairing glass and windows and windshields and so forth. Go ahead.
At 3208 South Market Street, you mean?
Yeah, that guy.
You can give him a call at 530-241-8373.
Very good. I just wanted to mention him because he's a good guy down there, and he's
he's a good guy. He's a veteran.
He's
helping. Really nice.
He's been helping us out as well.
Yeah.
So very good.
Yeah.
So
with that, we go to Lori. Are you there, Lori?
I sure am.
All right.
Thank you so much, Mark. I see you survived your birthday.
Hold on a second.
Yet.
I got to clear this up. I've been getting a ton of birthday wishes. It's not till the 29th. I'm not sure where everybody got the idea that I already had my birthday. But my birthday's on the 29th.
Okay, fake news. Thank you.
Disinformation.
Oh, no. But you know what? You're worth celebrating the entire month. I don't care.
Okay.
So, wow.
I like it. I love you, Lori.
Mark, come on. If we were in high school, I'd be, following you all over.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
Class two. I don't understand trigonometry, but I'm going to take the class anyway because you're in it. So there you go.
That reminds me of a Herman's Hermit song. I can't remember which one.
Anyways, and thank you to Dick and Fran for every year devoting their time and special, because how better to trust someone with something like this year after year after year, and we don't need to go to these agencies and nonprofits and things. You have no idea what the administrative cost. It goes straight in the bucket, and there you go.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because Dick is set up to take credit cards, and he has his own account to the Salvation Army to keep track of it so it stays here locally.
You know what? He's our own St. Nicholas, so there you go.
Yes, he is.
I squeeze him real hard when I see him next. So I'll just wrap up with my previous portion of my call regarding the elections office, ROV, and all the rest. As an observer, officially, I sometimes go there as media. I go there to ask questions, but the last 3 days I've been exclusively only an observer on my own time. And I will say that there's ardent security there, and that is a very expensive one because they're armed, okay, and they're on duty, and sometimes I've been the only person as the closer for 4 hours. So here's this guard thinking me, Lori Bridger, is going to suddenly lose it and cause trouble, harm, and whatever. But I would like to know, while we're tracking the money, what is the fee for that? Secondly, Joanna Francesca went to Nevada County. I would like a follow-up. We've been waiting for quite a long time. A summary, what happened, why did she physically need to go there? Very simple question. And I'd also like to have some explanation as to, all over the place there's these signs that say, no cameras, no picture taking, and so on, and yet it will still say, ask permission if you want to take a picture of the staff. So which is it?
Well, it seems like we have our own little deep state here in Shasta County.
I'm just saying, it's confusing. And then the badges, okay, we get these orange lanyard things. We're supposed to keep them on our neck. Even when we're coming out of the elevator, God forbid we take it off our neck until the black wrought iron fence with the security card, then we hand it over. I cannot begin to tell you the minutia of redirection and control is going on. The sticky notes upstairs in the limbo room, they're kept there in a little box, and I'm like, why aren't they just throwing these away? And I'm like, I think they're counting. And so, and I was talking to someone 1 inch off of tape when there's absolutely no one in the limbo room, and I'm being scolded to move an inch over in the hallway when there's hardly anyone in that room. And I tell you what, you won't believe it until somebody volunteers. So they're still going to do counting Monday, 8 to 5-ish. Tuesday, Wednesday, they're not sure yet. Obviously nothing on Thursday, Thanksgiving. And I would like to ask, as clear as possible, ROV Tom Toller, could you please find a couple minutes in your day to do a media release, a statement, something to keep us informed? Because right now, this is an absolute disaster, and it's really hard to sit there and watch it all, and then you're almost punished. In fact, in their observer guidelines, they say, persistent questions are not permitted. I'm sorry, are we still in the United States? Even if I have a piece of paper or I have to walk down the hallway and then whisper to someone, I mean, this is absolutely, you guys cannot believe how awful it is, and you will think we're exaggerating. No, I take notes the whole time while I'm trying to do the job. I've learned the job, three different jobs this week, because I've never done full exclusive
okay,
observation.
Okay, we gotta go. We're running out of time, Lori.
All right, thanks, Lori. We appreciate you.
Okay, I have a couple responses here. Hold on. We gotta get hooked up. Are we hooked up in there?
Good to go.
Silence.
Good to go. Okay, here we go. Let's. This is my response.
We are federales. You know, the mountain police.
If you're the police, where are your badges?
Badges.
Don't
you understand? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
And here's my other one. This is the one I was thinking of.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about science books. Don't
Carbon,
know much
Carbon.
About French accents.
There you are. Okay, there you are. Now let's go to the town hall.
Okay.
Hold on. What's it saying? We can't open it right now because of OneDrive? Hold on.
Would you carry her books while you're queuing that up?
Whose books?
If you were in high school and Lori was taking all your classes.
Oh, I'm going, what the hell are you talking about?
It's hypotheticals.
I don't know nothing.
It's just hypotheticals.
There we go. Let me see. I got it this time.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local update. A family's desperate search continues for two missing Chico women last seen near Mount Shasta in July. Dolores Sakamoto, 84, and her daughter Vivian Luna, 64, from Chico, California, went missing near Mount Shasta in July. Despite extensive searches by law enforcement using cell phone records, license plate readers, and K-9 units, no trace of the women or their black 1996 Lexus ES300 has been found. The last known ping on Luna's cell phone was recorded in a remote area near the Mount Shasta Ski Park. The family is offering a $10,000 reward
for information leading to their safe return and is reaching out on social media to keep the search ongoing. Anyone with information about this case is asked to call 911, or if they're in no danger, call the Butte County Sheriff's Office at 530-538-7322. While the search for the missing women continues, another significant issue has emerged in Shasta County as the debate over student access to menstrual product has intensified, with the Board of Education grappling with implementing state-mandated policies. During a recent facilities policy update, the Shasta County Office of Education Board, SCOE, voted 6-1 to comply with California's Menstruation Equity for All Act. The act requires schools to provide menstrual products in all girls' bathrooms and at least one boy's bathrooms for grades 9 to 12. The lone dissenting vote came from board member Arthur Gorman, who raised concerns about potential plumbing issues and liability risks. The policy update reflects scientific evidence showing earlier onset of menstruation among young girls, particularly in impoverished communities. Despite some local opposition to providing products in boys' bathrooms, advocates emphasize the importance of accessibility. Studies suggest that 2 in 5 people struggle to purchase menstrual products, with 38% of low-income women reporting missed work or school due to lack of supplies. In other county developments, Shasta County election officials have tallied over 80,000 ballots as of Friday night, 2.5 weeks after the November 5th polls closing. With many registered voters' ballots counted, key races show Corky Harmon leading the District 3 supervisor race over Mary Rickert. Aaron Resner is ahead in the Redding City Council 2-year seat race, while Paul DeNuca maintains a significant lead in the council's 4-year term race, followed by Mike Latal. The Anderson and Shasta Lake City Council races remain tight, with Darren Hale leading Anderson and Daniel Ringwalski leading Shasta Lake. Countywide, measures P and Q are currently failing. In the Shasta County Board of Education races, Jackie LaBarrera leads Area 2's 4-year term, Teresa Roberts is ahead in Area 2's 2-year term, Michael Orlicky leads Area 1's 4-year term race, and Bobby Simpson leads the Gateway Unified School District Board of Trustees. Beyond political matters, local authorities are taking decisive action on community issues as law enforcement and fire agencies have joined forces through multiple initiatives to address homelessness and fire safety concerns in Shasta County. Community Work Program officers from the Redding Police Department, assisted by the Shasta County Alternative Custody Program, have cleared illegal encampments across several locations, removing an impressive 19,000 pounds of garbage in just 2 weeks. This contributes to over 681,000 pounds cleared this year. Simultaneously, the Shasta Arson Task Force conducted community outreach patrols, connecting with 29 unhoused individuals to provide resources and education about campfire safety. The task force's Operation Spark Arrester also performed 20 compliance checks on arson registrants, finding 4 violations and issuing citations for narcotics, fireworks, and illegal burning. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
So let me clue you in. If you are in the boys' bathroom and you need a tampon, you're not a boy! It's really simple. I know it's not rocket science, but, you know, we don't need Elon Musk in here to do an analyzation of the actual biology of people to understand that boys don't need tampons, girls do. It's not hard.
What about the furries?
I mean, with the litter boxes?
You gotta accommodate the furries, don't you?
Yeah, no, yeah, no.
No?
So
that's a hard pass. Got you.
I don't know. They're starting, you know, where they have the men do the...
What you are doing is this. You are helping promote delusion.
Sickness.
Well, and really...
Whatever. Sorry. It's mental health is delusion.
Yeah, it's sickness.
Yeah, you got a couple of brain cells that are...
Really, it comes down to groomers. Like, why do these people that don't have kids want your kids to do weird stuff? It's really simple.
Oh, let's think about this,
Dave.
We
don't want them confused, do we?
Why, so we can control them and do, yeah.
You got to get this Scott Baio's list here of guys on the Epstein list here. Yeah.
And with that, I think we got a caller on the line. We've got, looks like Andrew from Bernie. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning. Good Lord. The tampons work good for plugging bullet holes, but in the good night, stop. Make it flippin' stop. I am now no longer going to visit my parents' graves because they're voting Democrat. And I don't know what to do about this. What do you guys think?
Well, Well, maybe you should send a ballot in for them and make it a Republican one.
Well, that was a joke. Actually, you're right. You're right there. No, are you serious? They're allowing in the boys' bath. Are you
yes.
kidding me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, and you got to have a litter box for the furries, because that's not delusion, is it?
It most certainly is. We need to stop this, guys, and we're well on our way doing it. I'm going to bring up the Brunson case briefly, and it's still in play. We spoke about this several months ago, probably a year. 385 members of Congress, that includes Senate and House, by not honoring their vow of office for allowing a 10-day wait on the 2020 election, violated their oaths of office, and the remedy that the Brunson brothers want is a removal from office. It's in the Supreme Court at this time now. I'm wondering if they're not going to spring it when they need to. We look at Biden authorizing the use of these missiles. It's utilizing our technology, therefore we are shooting at the Russians in order to stop World War III, or possibly four. Actually, it's number four, because we've been in World War III for quite some time now.
Yeah, we're in the middle of World War III, whether anybody wants to acknowledge it or no. But when you are the one that is supplying missiles to another country, and then you give them the okay to start shooting the missiles into the country that they're at war with, then that's called a proxy war.
And it is.
Yeah, so we're there already, and these idiots don't think that. I mean, I don't understand what they're thinking.
Well, the world order is dying, and they do not want to. They're gonna upset the chess table, and we'll all be dead. Because if they can't win, nobody does. With the technology, the U.S. technology to aim these weapons is what's needed. They have the weapons there now, and given the okay, it means that we are guiding these weapons.
Yeah, they They can't do it, correct? We have to program them.
Well, we've got Nero fiddling, and he's definitely fiddling.
So they've already ended up using one of them to end up striking a weapons depot that was deep inside of Russia, and that was why Russia ended up responding with that hypersonic missile, because our Iron Dome is notoriously not good at being able to catch that particular type of missile. And you also ended up having them name it an American name named Hazel. So it was basically clearly a threat based upon what they were doing. And we have three locations that are extremely dangerous right now in regards to our people. So you've got some of the folks that are in the South Sea right now that are close to some Russian troops that they might be hit as retaliation, and he's already sent a clear message to us that that's a line in the sand. And we're crossing that line notoriously over and over and over again. And we also, another big thing that's really scary to me is that you've got this dude that is Kim Jong-un. He's sending about up to 100,000 people that are over there, but he had one of his vital people that he had placed over there to see if he could end up getting these troops over there, and we just ended up either wounding him or killing him. And I've got some high levels of intelligence that are saying that we were the ones that provided the intel, the weapon strike, and all the rest of it, and that dude's unhinged with nuclear weapons.
Do you know what's really scary to me is the fact that there's morons out there still supporting these people. That's what amazes me. I guess just keep watching mainstream news and mainstream. Oh, wait a minute. I think MSNBC, or MSLSD as it's formerly known, is now going to be purchased by Elon Musk, it looks like. So maybe they'll put a dent in the propaganda.
Oh, yeah. I've got a clip on Peter Assange on the media, how it's just going down the toilet.
Right.
Yeah. They're losing.
We can't go to war because we've offshored our manufacturing capability over the last 35, 40 years.
Well,
we no longer have lead smelted in this country via the Obama EPA. Our last lead smelter in Missouri was shut down in 2011, I believe. So we have empty gun barrels, guys.
All we can do is just keep praying and They already started articles of impeachment a little late on this, I think, but I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see and hope for the best. I don't know what else to say, but it's getting scary for sure.
I think we could start up our own manufacturing pretty quick with a lot of people that would be on board with doing that. I think we have resources.
A lot of the skills have been lost. They typically carried down in the manufacturing process.
Uh-huh. That's true.
It's truthful. I expect to see Trump back in an office before the end of the year because of his Brunson case, and that's my hope.
Well, we
bless
can hope.
You guys.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
I'm going to have to go look back into it and get an update on that because I'm not sure where it's at. We kind of lost touch with it because... You know, gosh, nothing else has been going on, has it?
Nothing at all.
Thanks for the update, though. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, one would hope that we would be able to start up manufacturing pretty easy because we still have a lot of facilities and resources available to us.
Let's go to a break.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Last night, the King of Pop has died. Rapper Juice WRLD is dead.
Out of Los Angeles, the death of singing star Whitney Houston.
We turn now to the death of actor Matthew Perry.
Prince has died at the age of 57 years.
DMX has died.
Atlanta rapper Rich Homie Quan is dead.
Welcome to Hollywood, place where good is bad, is bad is good. So misunderstood. Better watch your back in this neighborhood.
Ain't no trust.
Up in the ground, no one thinking for themselves, they just go with the crowd. Thinking for yourself out here just isn't allowed. Bunch of puppets and clowns, Instagramming and tweeting. Ain't no love in Hollywood, everybody is cheating. Post Malone said it best, told me Hollywood bleeding. Lines for clubs, lines for drugs, ain't nobody that's sleeping. Everybody is creeping with Tina, Crystal, and Molly. Fame gone in a flash like the damn paparazzi. Light bulb, Botox, yoga, and Pilates. It's so shady, even though there ain't a day that it's cloudy.
Big game, be there.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our $50,000 Gridiron Glory Swipe to Win draw.
You and a friend could win the trip of a lifetime to witness the big game at Caesars Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Swipe your River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes.
Weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m.
Don't miss the final drawing on December 26th.
For complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Turtle Bay's 5th Annual Reading Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season. Open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights. Don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com has teamed up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Exploration Park, and Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive to help out Toys for Tots this holiday season and give you a chance to win some great prizes, including 4 tickets to the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights and $50 in gift certificates, better known as Black Bear Bucks from Black Bear Diner. All you have to do to get into our drawing is donate a brand new unwrapped toy valued at $10 or more to the KCNR studios at 1326 Market Street in downtown Reading. Then your name goes into a drawing coming up December 12th at 8:15 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Teaming up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights, and Black Bear Diner to help out Toys for Tots this Christmas. And giving you a chance to win some great prizes on KCNR. No purchase necessary to enter the drawing. 1 entry per person.
Sign up for you.
We're back. Sovereign Mind, little Elton John, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. If you didn't recognize that one, you're probably hiding in a cave somewhere.
Or you're very young.
Hey.
Very young. There you go. You know, that's going back a little ways.
All right. Well, speaking of youth, let's get to the ditty list here. All
right. Okay, Boomer.
Yeah. So I'm going to play this, and it's on, you can go to Scott Baio's official channel. He says he owns this. He has owns the rights to this, so he's got it on YouTube. But this is I don't think it's a complete list, but
it
I think
can't
it's a
be.
Partial
Otherwise
list.
Otherwise, we'd probably be
but
here
this
forever.
Is all, this is a list of all the people that, I guess.
And he wants out of jail because he's such an upstanding citizen. Who? Did you know that? Did he?
Oh.
Did he diddle his last diddle?
Did he still in jail?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, but he thinks he's on good behavior.
I wonder if Diddy's rolling over.
More ways than one, probably.
Okay, we'll get to Dolores.
Okay.
Let's play the Diddy list first. This is only a minute. Here's Scott Baio. These are all the A-listers that are on the list.
A.
Hold on. Let me make sure. Are we all hooked up here? Are we ready to go?
Good to go.
Okay, here we go.
Robert De Niro, Rob Reiner, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, and others. From The View, Rachel Maddow, Mark Ruffalo, Mark Hamill, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Richard Marx, Alec Baldwin, Pink, Ron Howard, Julia Roberts, George Clooney, Leo DiCaprio, Oprah, Cardi B, Lizzo, Ariana Grande, Billie Eilish, Jennifer Garner, J-Lo, Andy Cohen, Cher, Bryan Cranston, Jamie Lee Curtis, Kathy Griffin, Michael Keaton, Rosie O'Donnell, John Stamos, Eva Longoria, John Legend, and his wife, Spike Lee, Sean Astin, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, John Stewart, Bill Maher, Alyssa Milano, Bruce Springsteen, Barbara Streisand, Mark Cuban, and others.
This sounded like a lot of like the loudest voices in this election campaign that wanted to get Kamala reelected.
Yeah,
that sounds
like
a list
like
of
it.
The same guy. I wonder why that is.
I'm really surprised at a couple of the names, but
Rosie O'Donnell kind of surprised me a little bit. But.
What?
That doesn't surprise me. Ron Howard kind of surprised me.
No, not Ma. No.
Well, only because she's one of the ones that looks like a thumb.
Wow.
Go to our caller.
We will go to Dolores. Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay, because I'm in my car here, and I'm running late for church.
You're good.
But, I just want to give you some information in regarding the Gateway, you know, regarding Bobby Simpson. Okay, the reason he's winning, the reason he's going to win, is because Eli did not submit a statement at all. So, and Bobby Simpson actually submitted a statement in which it sounded pretty good because he said he was a parent and all kinds of good stuff. So it's not that the people, I don't think the people knew who they were voting for. And I think that because there's an article that I, you know, picked out, that you need to disclose who you are, and, you know, if you're a transgender, you have to disclose that to the voters. And somebody actually, I think it was in Orange County, can't remember where, but I got the article. They were prosecuted for not disclosing that, and they were actually, I'm not sure whether they were prosecuted or not, but they, because, you know, if you don't disclose something in your statement when you vote, you know, you're running for position. So I don't have the information all with me, but I do recall that he was disqualified for not disclosing that. Just so you know that.
Well, thanks
that's
for the info,
Dolores. We appreciate
that because it's nice to have everybody giving us info on these things. We can't be at everything and know everyone and everything. So we appreciate the intel.
That's kind of scary because that says that it's an uninformed voter, and yeah, that's not good for people to vote without all the information.
Well, therein lies the biggest
Eli,
problem.
Go ahead. Eli should also submitted a statement. He
Correct.
Should have done his job by submitting a statement.
Yep.
I agree.
Anything.
Yep. So. Very good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Dolores.
Thanks.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dolores. Yeah, so one of the big problems that we have in all of our communities is there's nobody that actually goes through and gets these school board representatives and gets the information from them and puts it out for the people to be able to know. So a lot of these candidates, you have no idea who you're voting for, and these are the ones that are going to end up.
It goes about name recognition after that. How many signs did you see?
But then you go to, if you don't know, why are you voting? I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, I got to agree. I will decline to vote if I don't know the race. I won't mark anybody because I'd rather not mark anybody than vote for the wrong guy.
Well, and most people, it's a flip of a coin. It's whose name do you end up picking? And like she said, if you don't have a candidate statement, they can put basically anything they want to in the right. candidate statement portion.
Well, and we're not getting any help from the media because you can't go to them for anything anymore because I don't trust. Do you trust MSN LSD or do you trust CBN or I don't know, not CBN but CNN and Communist News Network?
You
trust
them.
Anybody? Yeah. Not at this point. So I do have a clip here to play. This is queued up. A hat tip to you.
Oh, just one second. So
okay, what do you got?
I do have, I think this might be the one, transgender candidate in Ohio is disqualified for not disclosing birth name. Transgender woman was disqualified from the race of Ohio's House of Representatives after she did not include her previous name in election materials, raising the prospect that transgender candidates would face similar barriers elsewhere. I don't know if that's the same one, but that's the one that came up.
So, well, it may be the same guidelines here. I'm not sure.
So
we'd have to check on that.
Okay. So I'm going to play the clip here from Peter St. Ange, and this is about the left-wing media and how it's dying. CNN is in mass layoffs. You got the Associated Press is decimating their newsroom. MSNBC is being sold for scrap. Why is that? Because if your business model is nothing but lying over and over and over and over again, how long do you think people will trust your...
What happens when you get caught?
Well, that's it. So here we go. I haven't heard this yet, but here we go. No, that's not it.
Notorious conspiracy theorists.
Let's try this.
The left-wing media is collapsing, and it is spectacular. Notorious conspiracy theorist CNN is set for, quote, hundreds of layoffs, including on-screen talent. Associated Press is laying off 8% of its global workforce. Rumors are floating that MSNBC could even be sold for parts as ratings plunge 50% since the election. So why is left-wing media collapsing? Easy, the audience does not trust them. We just came off the mother of gaslights trying to convince the American people that Kamala is joyful and competent, while Donald Trump will literally dictator your uterus. Americans are not buying it. Gallup reports that American trust in media has fallen just 31%. As recently as 2004, most Americans did trust the media. In the 1970s, three-quarters trusted the media. This matters because for decades, media control of the narrative, the gaslight industrial complex, has so terrified conservatives that whatever backbone they once had is long gone, from government shutdowns to spending cuts to welfare for the able-bodied to immigration amnesty. The GOP would campaign right, then flip left, or kiss their jobs goodbye from a vengeful media. So those days are over. And how did we get here? In the beginning of our republic, newspapers were party organs, essentially political ads. By 1900, they grew into an oligarchy of three men, Joseph Pulitzer, left-wing Democrat, Randolph Hearst, who started left but turned conservative, and Frank Gannett, a conservative. As their power grew, the government started censoring the news, with Woodrow Wilson using World War I as the excuse. He threatened Hearst with the Espionage Act and Sedition Act and intercepted conservative newspapers using the post office. In the 1930s, FDR did it again, censoring anti-New Deal newspapers before the war, then using radio and TV licenses to blackmail opponents. There was literally an office of censorship. After the war, this was codified by the FCC into the so-called Fairness Doctrine that allegedly balanced coverage, but in reality amounted to a political commissar. Out of self-preservation, broadcasters took the pro-government position, meaning the Democrat position. A seminal moment was the conservative New York Times raiding the newsroom of the Communist Village Voice in the 1960s. So by the end of the 60s, the media was a near left-wing monoculture with Walter Cronkite and then Dan Rather, the tip of the spear. And then the tide turned. The first wave was Ronald Reagan, who ended the Fairness Doctrine in 1987. Within a year, a small-time DJ in Kansas City decided to start talking about politics. Hundreds more followed Rush Limbaugh into the breach. From talk radio, alternative media graduated to the internet starting in 1994. Then social media, which started in 2004 with Facebook and 2006 with Twitter. They were originally censorship-free, meaning they favored the conservative media. Of course, the empire struck back, purging conservatives starting in 2014, so mid-Obama, and ramping it up under Trump since the establishment panicked that they were losing control. That censorship, of course, was single-handedly reversed by Elon Musk, bringing us to today, where alt media from Twitter, now X, to Tucker and Joe Rogan, two citizen journalists on the ground in North Carolina, or in the bars with Veritas, are wiping out legacy media. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. Media has been called the fourth branch of government. In many ways, it's the most powerful because it shapes the voters. The collapse of left-wing media means we are about to get a tectonic shift in America, in fact, in global, politics towards more populism, more conservatism, and a smaller and more responsive government. Read the rest of the article at ProfStAnange.com. Okay, we'll be watching. See you next time.
Very good. Very good. Good report.
Yeah.
And
covers a lot of information right there for you.
Absolutely. And it tells you what's going on, what's been going on. That's a good history lesson there for all those people out there that just don't get it. And, you know, that's why we're gravitating towards more and more podcasts. We're gravitating towards more and more media that people can decide to listen to or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can decide, you know, before the mainstream had a complete monopoly mm-hmm. across the board, even Fox and Fox News, you know, is still giving out the narrative. They're not, they just have a different narrative. They're more mm-hmm. telling you what you want to hear as opposed to what you should hear. So, you know, when you don't tell the whole story, it's almost as bad as not telling the story at all.
Well, and a lot of it too, when you look specifically what Fox News does is they tell you the things you want to hear and yep. then they put in the stuff to be able to manipulate and control you when it's really important to do so
right.
for the powers that be. So Maddow was hit with a $5 million pay cut as Musk and Trump Jr. joke about buying MSNBC.
Well, it's interesting. I think Musk is going to pull the trigger.
Yeah,
I really think he might. Because it's the same exact verbiage that, you know, on Twitter. I seen the tweet where somebody says, Twitter's on sale, and Elon goes, well, how much do they want?
Right.
He did the same thing on MSLSD. They go, MSLSD is on sale, and he goes, how much do they want? So
right.
he is officially the richest person in the world now. So,
yeah.
so my dad just sends me this one and goes, Gutfeld said MSNBC stands for Must Sell Network by Christmas.
But you know, that report helps out to give us confidence of what we've been hammering for 15 years or whatever about the media, you know, and what's going on with it and what's happening. And maybe it will help open the eyes to people that really what the mainstream media has done.
You know, sometimes you just have to stand up for truth, even if you're the only one standing up. You know, it's kind of like we watched that Bonhoeffer movie last night.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. You know, sometimes you got to stand up no matter what, no matter what the opposition says, no matter what the odds are, no matter what, because – you know, sometimes you have to tell the truth. Somebody has to tell the truth, mm-hmm. even, no matter what the consequences. So that's kind of what we've been doing for a long time. And
it's nice to see the confidence getting back to the people, I think, with Trump getting elected. I don't know about you guys, but it seems like, for the most part, people are a lot happier.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Gas prices have already gone down. I was seeing $3.30 this
I'm still skeptical.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not saying everything's fixed, but you know.
All I'm saying is I don't trust any politicians, even the one that I elected. Now, I'm hoping Trump does a stellar job, and I think we're going in the right direction. Anybody that voted for Kamala is a moron. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Because she was a complete moron. The whole thing was a setup by the media and the Democratic Party. She didn't even get a nomination. She was the worst candidate during the presidential debate.
She was just
completely out. She couldn't even answer a frickin' question.
Right.
So they promoted her and gaslit everybody like, oh, it's the Kamala surge and all this stupid crap, you know, that everybody was supposed to buy into is freaking believable. Does that mean I trust Trump completely?
No.
It means that I'm looking at some of his picks on the cabinet and I'm a little skeptical on a few mm-hmm. of them, you know. We'll see how this goes. I mean, Gates is out. He kind of, that, gee, I mean.
That was kind of an interesting thing. There's a kind of two schools on that.
Is it 3D chess or are they just slinging arrows and, you know, misfortune? So, but.
Well, and like they said, there is the Marco Rubio appointment that theoretically will end up leaving his seat open. And then at that point, you could end up possibly having, the governor of Florida actually put and appoint the person.
I do like some of his picks, and you got to pick somebody.
Well,
and that doesn't mean that they're
going to
be permanent, and some of these
pick,
guys, can, they can all be fired and somebody else put in, but I don't think you're going to see the same level of mistakes the first round of Trump, of trusting anybody.
Well, and so there was, actually, as of today, this is from the Gateway Pundit, General Flynn, the deep state cannot afford to allow President Trump to implement his plans to reform America. So this is something from him. He says, the truth is the deep state cannot allow the President Trump to implement his plans to reform America. Scenarios to frustrate assassination, conventional resistance, violent resistance, provoking war, false flag war. In the longer than normal OPEC below. See, I'm pulling this up here.
Right.
Please read. I briefly state the DNI and the DHS threat, my personal threat assessment of the situation, analyze the five scenarios above, and offer a so what. We won on a historic election, but the war still rages on. So he actually has an entire threat assessment. I don't think we have the time to go over
well,
it.
Well, right, and I mean, I've got another article right next to it. Adam Schiff panics over Pam Bondi and Tulsi Gabbard nominations, but throws their support behind Mark Rubio.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that tells me a lot about Mark Rubio that I, you know, so we should get to actually naming the cabinet here. We do have a caller, and we're running out of time. So, go ahead.
We've got
first.
Jimmy on the line. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. I'll make it lickety split. The mainstream media has been, putting out the rhetoric of, oh, Trump's cabinet guy or cabinet woman is a qualified. And I kind of heard that from you guys, too. But let's look at Biden's cabinet.
Oh, my God.
What cabinet?
You know, that's such a good point, Jimmy. Yeah. That's such a good point.
I'm going to make this quick and sweet. So the guy that got appointed to the energy and nuclear, the Secretary of Energy and Nuclear Energy,
mm-hmm.
is a bald guy that wears more makeup than Elizabeth Taylor.
and steals luggage,
from airports. So, and that's only the tip of the iceberg, people.
I totally agree. We could go down through them. Rachel Levine. We could go down through Buttigieg.
The whole thing. Everything.
What is it, Buttigieg?
Buttigieg.
Oh, I thought it was Buttigieg.
No, it's Buttigieg.
Buttigieg. Yeah, that was what it was, Buttigieg. Yeah, so it's it's a complete crap show
on
that.
It's a catastrophe.
Well, Google Jared Bernstein YouTube, his interview with Follow the Money. It's about a minute and a half clip. The guy's a complete...
I don't know.
The guy's a complete moron. He's in charge of the Treasury.
Yeah, so they print money and print money.
Yeah, and that's what they do. And then they sell bonds.
Yeah.
So when you hear all this mainstream media stuff that they're coming out with now, don't worry, people. It's got to be better than the last 4 years.
Anything's better. And here's what you also have to understand with Trump, too. Is Trump afraid to fire people?
No.
No, he fires people. All the time, because if they don't perform, they're gone.
Well, I like the fact that he's actually appointing them basically to 2-year terms, so he's still got the ability to knock them out.
All right, so we got about 5 minutes left.
If you don't do the job, you are fired.
Yeah,
so, right. All right, folks, I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy. Good point there.
So, White House Chief of Staff, we've got Susie Wiles, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Matt Gaetz is no longer in the running. It's now Pam Bondi. Kristi Noem, who's a personal favorite of mine, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. I think that's a great pick because, you know, despite all the crap about the shooting her dog, which is just ridiculously stupid if you understand and read the book, you know, that's what people out in the country actually do. They handle their own stuff. They don't necessarily have to run to the vet to take care of something. So, I think that's a great pick.
I think some of his picks he's done maybe to draw people. Yeah, I do. I really do.
I agree.
Yeah.
So then we got Tulsi Gabbard as the Director of National Intelligence. Mm-hmm. We got Elise Stefanik, who I like, as the Ambassador to the United States, United Nations. We got Mike Huckabee as ambassador to Israel. I think that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Steve Witkoff, I don't know enough about, Special Envoy to the Middle East. Mike Waltz, I don't know much about, National Security Advisor. John Radcliffe, I don't really know that much about either, CIA Director. But I think just firing everybody in sight is a good start. Then we got Lee Zeldin. As Environmental Protection Agency Administrator, we've got Bill McGlinley, and he's the White House Counsel, and then Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy is the Department of Government Efficiency, which is kind of interesting. You know, the one pick out of this whole thing that I really like big time, and I think shows the administration's cards to a degree, is Tom Holman as the border czar. That guy is like serious as a heart attack.
He is.
So we'll see how this develops as it goes. And then I've got the Secretary of Treasury. I've got Scott Benson. I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not real thrilled about him.
And then who else we got? We've got Bondi, and then we got Doug Burgum. I'm not sure who Secretary Interior is. Doug Burgum. So I don't know some of these people. He was the governor of North Dakota, and he has held that position since 2016. So he had a successful business career, including the sale of his software company, Great Plains Software, to Microsoft for $1 billion. So we've got some people we don't know that much about. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. Maybe we'll have to try to do a little more intel on some of these. Secretary of Commerce, Howard Letnick.
I don't know much about him.
I don't know. Again, these people are not real high profile in my book. Some of them, Secretary of Labor, Lori.
Well, in some ways, that's probably a good thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, it might be. It might be.
Secretary of Labor is Lori Chavez DeRemer. That might be a precursor to reality. Then we've also got Robert Kennedy Jr. as the Secretary of Human.
I'm really excited about that.
Health and Human. I think that's a good pick.
A good pick.
We've got Scott Turner as the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. I don't think we need a Secretary of Education anymore.
No, he's getting rid of the education.
Yeah. Sean Duffy is the Secretary of Transportation. I think that takes Buttigieg. Booty
whatever.
Booty something. I don't know. I can never say his name. I couldn't say it if I wanted to. He's out of there. Secretary of Energy is Chris Wright. So that five times fast. Secretary of Education, I guess. Well, they got somebody in there. I guess we still
Linda McMahon, but
we get rid of the thing. So.
But, yeah, he's supposed to get rid of it to go back to the states.
Doug Collins is the Director of Veterans Affairs. Homeland Security, Kristi Noem again. So that's kind of I don't know if that's a complete list or of everything, but I think the cabinet is virtually complete and in place is my understanding.
Well, it needs to be. You look at some of these things. So like right here from Zero Hedge, Department of Health and Human Services created a diversity, equity, and inclusion infrastructure of dizzying complexity. The agency's 2025 budget request contains the word equity 829 times, adding to the dollar total that's already impossible to tabulate.
They weren't a bunch of DEI hires, were they?
No, not
they
at all.
They hired 294 DEI staffers at a cost of $38.7 million last year. And that was 294 cost $38.7 million last year. Their salaries above $100,000 with 247 of them.
Well,
that article you brought up earlier about the transgender that Dolores called in, was that out of Ohio?
Ohio, yeah.
Yep, that's the one she was referring to. I just wanted to get that in real quick.
Okay,
so
good.
We're about at the end here. We've only got about 19 seconds to go, so...
I still had a bunch, unfortunately, but you got taxpayer-funded censorship. Look that article up on Zero Hedge. You also had the IMF, which is calling for carbon restrictions that dwarf the COVID lockdowns, and Britain is also trying to do a... inheritance tax for 20% on the farmers, which will basically...
Oh, yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful man.
And have a great...
We'll see you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
The Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.